Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
I could go somewhere with that, but I won't. Hey,
I got to get something off my chest, first of all, and I'm going to rant for just a few seconds. And I'm Brian, I'm going to use you as my soundboard as usual. Brian, you ever heard of Smithfield Foods?
Yeah, I live in Virginia.
All right, you ever heard of Watney Bacon?
Yeah, it's one of their, isn't it one of their, like, second label subsets?
Yep, you ever heard of Purdue Chicken?
I don't think I've heard of that one. No, I don't think so. I just drive by the damn plant all the time.
You ever heard of Chips Ahoy cookies?
I was never allowed to eat those fancy foods. So what are you getting at?
Yeah, really, what are you getting at? I'm sorry.
All right, what I'm getting at is that. Is just a list of a few different companies that sell to Walmart. And I am sick and tired of people who get on Facebook and other social media and they rag on Walmart selling crappy products. Come on. They sell Rubbermaid. They sell Goodyear. They sell all the brand names. Can anyone explain to me why that is crappy product? Please. Brian?
I don't know. You know, and I'll tell you something. You know that I have not ragged on you about Walmart for a long time now.
I know.
You know? It's like, you know, if you're going to go somewhere and shop somewhere, that's where you shop.
Well,
and
right,
I'm sorry, but I don't care what anybody else thinks about where I shop.
Well, it cracks me up, though. People keep talking about they sell crappy product. No, they don't. No, they don't. They actually have standards. I've been in the food business for 35 years. They have standards that are way beyond some other retail operations, and they sell all the name brands. Yes, they do get product from China, like your nuts and bolts and your light bulbs and crap like that, but they actually sell quality product, and it just cracks me up. I'm just sick of it. And McDonald's. You know, I rag on McDonald's, and last week I just talked about how great McDonald's is, and you said you had a follow-up story to the McDonald's story, but McDonald's also has high standards. If you folks don't understand the high standards of McDonald's, I don't know what cave you crawled out of, but they have high standards. And, Brian, what kind of follow-up story did you want to do? You said you did some reading about McDonald's.
Well, no, you know, I just wanted to follow up with the whole idea of the kiosk, and everything that I read, you know, I Googled the whole thing with McDonald's, you know, doing this test, you know, in a number of different cities, and every article I came up with was all about, oh, McDonald's is just doing it because they want to eliminate jobs because everybody wants $15 an hour. And
That's not why. But I
know it's not why, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't totally agree with the fact that people that work at McDonald's deserve $15 an hour, but I do agree that people should make a fair living. But if you're going to eliminate jobs just because you put in a kiosk, I mean, it just doesn't wash with me. So they're just jumping on their soapboxes about, well, McDonald's doing it because they want to eliminate jobs and they don't want to raise people's wages.
Well,
it's not why they're doing
part-
it. We live in a technology.
It's probably why, but they're not the only companies doing it. And if they are going to be forced to pay $15 an hour, you and I are going to be spending a lot of money for a hamburger. So I like what they're doing. And to top that off, they're making a quality product to go along with it. We lost Laurie, by the way. But anyway, I agree with them 100% to what they're doing. So I wanted to get on my soapbox for a second tonight, just because I'm sick and tired of hearing about all the complaints. And Brian, you are still with me, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah.
And you with me? I don't know.
Blog Talk is acting up for some reason, and I needed Laurie on this next little story I was going to tell. But Brian, did you want to elaborate? You said you had a couple of food stories. I'm trying to get Laurie back on here. What kind of food stories do you have?
Oh, we lost Laurie. Okay, see.
Yeah, we
like
lost her,
week,
and I need her for the next story too.
And you know what? Your whole thing with Walmart. That's a perfect episode of Dark Man and Foil Boy. You know, we go out and fight the fight against all the people that rag on Walmart.
Laurie,
I mean, it's there.
Hello.
It's right there. Hello, Laurie. Did you have a nice nap?
Boop, boop, boop. I just hear boop, boop, boop. Almost like I just connected.
All right, the reason I need Laurie for the next story, okay, everybody, if you follow us on Facebook, you have seen me cooking on the Hot Box Grill. That's www.hotboxgrill.com. I'm telling you, grill is the best grill on the market. I've had quite a few different grills. It is, Laurie, I set that sucker, and I go and leave it for like 20 to 30 minutes. You don't have to do any work with it. The temperature stays the same, and Laurie, tell the listening public how great the ham was that I made on the Hot Box Grill.
Oh, I was dancing. I was literally dancing. I'm like, ba 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 ba.
Hey, Brian, you know that, Flashdance song, Maniac, Maniac. That was Laurie when she was eating the ham.
I was a maniac.
I really was.
And what did I say? I said, when we have Brian and Linda, you have got to get this ham. You have got to put it on the hot box, and we have got to have this because we're going to die.
Wait. What?
I'm not eating any ham that he buys at Walmart.
Well, I'm sorry. Hey, here we go. It's Smithfield ham. Here we go. Smithfield shoulder ham.
Mr. Walker.
Ah, geez. Anyway, everything turned out great. We had sausages. We have ham. We have chicken. We have potatoes. It was a buffet of great food on the Hot Box Grill. Go check out hotboxgrills.com. Dave Benjamin has got a little invention there that is, I mean, I can't describe it. It smokes, it grills, it barbecues, it chars your food the right way, and I love it. And for someone like me to be able to cook like I cook tonight, it's just like, wow, it's amazing. It's a miracle maker.
Did you know that he's running all kinds of great sales right now?
Yeah,
I'm on the website right now, and he's got like sales with the grill and the combinations with like an interesting game and all kinds of stuff. He's got great, fantastic sales going on right now.
Oh my God. So,
you got to check it out. It's worth every penny. And I'm not kidding because we get offered different products to promote here on the show, and we don't take products and promote them unless we like them ourselves. And this grill, I'm telling you, it's a winner. So check it out. And
that and Marty
promo
Owens Tatanka, I have to say, right? Marty Owens Tatanka.
I'm out of Tatanka dust, by the way. Yeah, Marty Owens Barbecue.
And Dave Benjamin,
BBQ.
Our neighbor wants to try it with his crabs because he always brings us crabs.
That's amazing. That stuff is great. You know, everybody uses that damn Old Bay seasoning here on the East Coast, and Tatanka dust is fantastic, much better than Old Bay seasoning. So check out owensbbq.com. He's got some great products on there, too, and that's enough of our advertising. Laurie, should I tell Brian the story about my first class adventure?
Oh, my God, I was crying. I had to get a tissue. You were texting me on the plane. I was crying from what you were texting me. Yes, you
all right, Brian.
Everybody
listening is probably familiar with the story and saw the show with Seinfeld when Elaine was trying to sneak on to first class, and Jerry was up there with a lady, and they were enjoying first class. Well, I got bumped up to first class last week on my way to Fresno.
Thank God.
Holy cow. I mean, it is amazing what they do up there behind that curtain. First of all, they give you they give you warm cashews and nuts. They give you a hot towel to wipe your hands with. Then on top of that, we had a choice of lobster and beef ravioli or what was that stuff I ate, Laurie? The spinach,
It was it was some kind of meat dish, filet mignon or something, I forget.
Anyway, it was fantastic. And then, get this, Brian, I had three glasses of wine. And the lady comes to me and I said, do you have any red wine? She goes, I'm sorry, sir, all we have is the blend. And I said, okay, well, I'll take that. I guess if that's all you have.
He's playing with it. Yeah, I guess if that's all you have.
And then get this. After dinner, they come through, and she says, excuse me, sir, would you like some fresh vanilla bean ice cream?
Why is he going to say no?
I'm like, yeah, what do you think? So I'm up there eating my vanilla bean ice cream while the riffraff back there is buying peanuts.
And did you ask them if they had any bacon to go with the ice cream?
No,
oh
I should
God.
Have. I bet they do. I bet anything you ask for in first class, I think they give it to you. It was the most amazing adventure. Of course, when I came back.
He didn't
back,
have a backache. He didn't have a
no,
ache.
No, I was like, it's like riding in your recliner. Then when I came back, of course, they didn't have an upgrade, so I had to sit in 20B in the center between two fat guys, and that was awful for 4.5 hours. But
oh,
I did
sad.
Get, I did get to use the first class benefits going out
going
to Fresno.
To
so anyway,
nice. Oh,
if you
so
haven't
happy.
Done it,
I think it was more
you
fun than
you
were.
I'm not sure if it's worth the extra $300 or $400 that they want to charge you, but if you get a chance to get upgraded, do it because it's like, whoa, amazing. That's the way to fly. And Brian, have you ever flown first class?
Actually, once. On our
actually,
honeymoon, we got bumped up to first class because they had empty seats. My big thing, and I'm glad that you got first class, but my big thing is that the airlines today, it's like, you know, they make reservations like they're herding cattle. And you sit in the waiting area at your gate without a seat assignment, and they're like, well, you know, we have to wait till all these people and, you know, the priority premium paying people. Meanwhile, when you finally, at the last minute, are given a seat assignment, and you go on the plane, and you're the last one to go on the plane because they waited to the last minute to give you seat assignment, and you walk through, and there's no one in first class.
Right.
Like, then why the hell can't they fill up those seats?
Oh,
you know, they're
God.
Waiting to the last minute to see if anybody wants to spend money. You know, and then they walk around, it's like used car salesmen. You're like, hey, you know, we'll bump you up to first class for an extra $50. And like, oh, whatever. I'm like, don't shyster me.
You know what? For $50
you know,
bucks, it might be worth it because you get the, you do get those warm nuts up there. And I have to tell you, that was worth
yeah.
$50 just by itself.
I told them,
well,
I'm so glad
that you got to go first class. But
me too.
It's just,
so funny.
It's just such a flying is such a racket. You know.
It is, and I was riding Wari before the plane took off, and there was a big delay because they overbooked the flight, and then people are coming on with their luggage, and it cracks me up. People bring on, like, so much luggage to begin with, and they're trying to cram it in the overhead, and so then everything was delayed because, you know, the riffraff back there were trying to put their rolly bags up, and there was no room. So then we had to,
the riffraff.
We had
oh, wait, can I get up on my soapbox about that one too now? Because
yes,
I so object to everybody that shows up with their oversized Pullmans and oversized
yep.
bags that they know are not going to fit in the overhead.
They know it.
But to buck having to pay for the bag because you pay for all your bags unless you're an Amex Gold Card member or, you know, have a million freaking miles on whatever airline, you know, you have to pay for your bags. But if
yep.
you go to the gate and they have to put your bag down because it won't get in, then you don't get charged.
That's right.
And that's
no,
the
that's
reason
why,
they do why that's
why
the
are you,
reason
are you
why
serious?
People
I didn't
do
know
it.
That. Yeah, because once you get
and,
once
and
you
they
get
do
the
it
gate.
All the time.
Yep,
and
when
they hold
they
up the
they
flight,
just tag you. You don't have to. You get to save $25 if you take them all the way to the gate, and then they have to tag it. So
get
that's why people
out.
Do it. Yep.
You know, they hide them from the people at check-in. It's like, no, we have I have carry-on. You know, and they're rolling through. They're rolling through the airport with these enormous suitcases. Carry-on.
It's bigger than
yeah.
me. Some of them are bigger than me. They're just shoving them. I would watch them. They're shoving them up. In the top part, like boom, 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 like you're pushing it in there. They don't fit. You're
I know.
Right. I'm like, oh my God,
well,
these
I'm
people.
Done. I'm done now, so we can move on now.
All right, I had to.
There's
a story I have to get out because for the last 2 weeks we've bypassed it, and it's a very important story, and it's about sugar, fake sugar, and no sugar. Okay, and Brian, you're going to like this because you liked putting saccharin tablets on your tongue when you were a kid. Well, it turns out.
Yeah, I wonder if they still make them, though. I don't know if they still make them that way.
Well, they should now because all the science was false. Most scientists agree these days that artificial sweeteners have been unfairly maligned. This is what the actual article says. And they are perfect substitutes for sugar. An article by pediatrician Aaron Carroll of Indiana University in New York Times laid it out in line, which came to the health implications of sugar versus artificial sweeteners. I'm not going to read the whole damn thing, but get this. The first and oldest of artificial sweeteners is saccharin, discovered in 1878 by Russian chemist Konstantin Fallberg, working in a lab, blah, blah, blah. I won't go into this. But anyway, he actually came up with this sugar, which I thought was very interesting, because Teddy Roosevelt ate a lot of sugar, and he was overdosing on sugar, and this guy came up with this for Teddy Roosevelt, and it turned out to be something that became marketed later. But anyway, long story short, remember all those studies where they said the rats were dying?
Yes.
Not true.
Not true.
Well, they were, but you'd have to eat like unbelievable amounts of saccharin for you to even get a trace of cancer, and they were all the results on these tests were incorrect, done back in the 1970s. The bladder cancer in the rats, et cetera, had raised flags, and before long, saccharin had a bad name, and of course, they said it caused cancer in laboratory animals. And then the shaken public dropped saccharin like a lead brick. Well, it turns out that it wasn't true. And it's been confirmed now, reevaluations of the original rat experiments show that it does not cause cancer. And if it does, you have to eat tremendous, tremendous amount. Hell, if you eat anything, you eat too much bacon, you'll get cancer. If you eat anything,
anything
will cause
it.
I have a feeling you'll get sick from lots of things. So anyway, bottom line saccharin is okay. Then they did further studies on some of the other ones, like NutraSweet, and so aspartame and all those, all the tests that were done in the past, 1981, wrong. An alarming study postulated a link between aspartame and brain tumors, proved to be a false correlation.
Can't believe that.
In 2005, the study showed that rats fed high doses of aspartame, in some cases equivalent to over 2,000 cans of diet soda a day, developed lymphomas and leukemia. The effect was not found to apply to people, though. But it correlated it to rats. How many of us drink 2,000 cans of diet soda a day? Nobody I know.
But speaking of drinking, remember when we reported on the people that were talking about how there was poison in the water? You know, was it cyanide or rat poison or something? And then we found articles that showed that it's like it all has it. It's kind of inherent. It comes from the ground. And you would have to, like, probably drown yourself in order to get enough to possibly die.
Yeah, that was like cyanide, arsenic in the water. Yeah, arsenic.
Right. That was it, arsenic. Yeah, and it was something that you would find natural in soil and stuff like that. So it was coming out in the minerals, you know, that were getting into the water. But, I mean, it's like everything else. People want to tell you that something is going to kill you so that they can start a new trend.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, you know, real scientists then discover, sorry, guys, but we ain't going to die from this.
Well, bottom line is all those studies were wrong. And they've done further studies now and had better tests done. And bottom line is, of course, if you overdo anything, whether it be the wine you drink or the sugar you eat, you could cause problems in your body. But now they're saying there's nothing wrong with these guys. So when I drink that iced tea with that little sweet and low packet, I feel much better now. And I've always wondered, every time I tore open one of those little packets, I was wondering if I was going to get brain cancer. Now I know that probably not.
Jeez.
Anyway,
well,
so I thought that was it. If you want to find out more, I'll post this story on my Facebook page. It goes into more details. It's kind of boring, but just wanted to pass that along. So eat, drink, and be merry, and tear open those little equal and saccharine packages. And
I was always afraid of those little packets, though. I have to admit, you always use them. I'm like, I'm afraid of those packets.
See, I
anyway,
told you,
the
well,
story, I'm like, I'm not afraid.
All
right?
Science. All a bunch of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see here. What else do I have? I have another story, but it won't come up here. Give me a second. This is just live radio. Hang on.
You
want to
hear about my weekend
folks.
Foil adventure?
Oh! Weekend foil adventure?
What?
What?
Yes. I took a page out of the Brilliant Ideas cookbook on Saturday.
And?
And I made a cauliflower.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. And?
You
was
know?
It good?
And it was delicious. But
see?
It didn't have
see?
Bacon. Didn't well, have
it
bacon.
Didn't
it wasn't
have bacon.
That, it wasn't
what
that
it
good.
Had?
Wasn't that good. Then.
Yeah, it could have been that good.
Bacon does not make the world go round, people.
Yes, it
remember
does.
That.
No,
way.
It does
czar,
make everything
the
better.
The czar has said it.
By the way, okay. I have done scientific research on this. Every time I mention the word bacon on Facebook, I get anywhere from 3 to 4 times more likes than I do on anything else. So there must
mm-hmm.
be something magic about bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it must be something, but... Anyway, I did it with chopped green onion and garlic and some herb butter that I had and a little bit of olive oil, wrapped it up in foil pouch like you do, and let it sit on the grill, and it was delicious.
Yeah.
I did some roasted red potatoes, and then, of course, I made a pork tenderloin.
Oh.
No foil there.
But doesn't the foil add, it holds it all together?
Of course.
Wasn't it?
I mean, Brilliant for years. I mean, Brilliant thinks I'm getting more and more like him. I'm just letting it come out
now
so he sees it.
You
I'm just letting it come out so you see it.
Mm-hmm.
See, they always say,
I've been doing this stuff
for
years.
Yeah, right. What they say is, was it emulation and is the best flattery when someone copies you? So, yeah, he's becoming me, Laurie.
Trust me, I'm not. I am not flattering or honoring you. That's the last thing you'll find me doing.
All right, I got my story.
We have to give credit. We have a lot of followers, but William Horn, we have to give a shout out to, and absolutely, Randy Sen.
Yes. Yes,
right?
Randy Finn. By the way, let me just mention Randy Finn real quick here. Laurie's exactly right. We have a little comment section on our show each and every week, and honestly, I have not been paying attention to it, and he's such a supporter of our show. And I went back, and thank you, Randy Finn, for participating and listening to our show and participating and talking while our show's going on, and we appreciate your support. We appreciate everybody's support. But people like Bill Horn and Randy Finn especially, thank you guys for what you do out there and helping us promote the show.
We should have them call in.
Yeah, you guys really
should
call in. Anytime, you're welcome to
call
in.
I would love it.
That would be
love
fun.
It.
Hey, I found the story finally that I'm looking for. Get this, Brian, you know Stubbs Barbecue, right?
Yeah. I know, yeah,
you
I know of them.
Did you
I've
know
never
that?
Had it.
Yeah.
I know the sauces, yeah.
All right, did you know that McCormick just bought them last week for $100 million?
That's all?
That's all.
McCormick probably got off easy.
Yeah, they probably actually did.
All
you're
the
probably
resources,
right.
Probably.
Considering all the resources they have with marketing, to remarket
probably.
That stuff, they
probably
got off easy.
Well, get this. Stubbs actually did not begin selling his sauces to retailers until 1992. Now, he had been in the barbecue restaurant business since 1968, but the product, if you've never had Stubbs barbecue sauce, you need to try it out. And I'm not promoting it because they do anything for us, but it's good stuff. But anyway, McCormick bought out the company for $100 million. So that's not bad. Since 1992 to 2015, I know, they've done excellently well. So, and they have Stubbs, charcoal, they have Stubbs, all different products. But anyway, I thought, wow, if only I had a barbecue sauce. Okay, here's another one. Here's a story for you, food story. Don't wash your spinach. Do you wash your spinach, Brian?
No,
you buy it from the store?
It says it's triple washed, pre-washed. Oh.
Don't believe it. Do not believe it. It's not true. Get this. Even if you wash your spinach and rinse it off in water, and even if you use like a bleach cleanser that they have that special veggie wash, doesn't get it off. Those little E. coli molecules and salmonella can survive the bleaching process used in food processing plants. And when you try to wash it at home, no luck. 15% of typical spinach leaves are exposed to trace amounts of E. coli. And even after rinsing, 90% of them, the bacteria will adhere to the leaves. So be careful. And by the way, this is the organic style of spinach too. So be careful what you eat. And the best suggestion they said here is if you are going to wash your spinach, to dunk it in a disinfectant in your sink. Don't just try to rinse it off. And it was like 3,000 people die every year from foodborne diseases, of which a large percentage of them are from leafy vegetables. So be careful with your leafy vegetables. I'm just filled with such good news tonight.
Well,
you know, I'm blown away though, because it says it's all clean, pre-washed. Who would think to go back and rewash it again? I wouldn't.
Well, we don't, and even if you do, it doesn't matter according to this article.
Well, tomorrow you're gonna find an article that's all false, because someone out there that wanted to scare the crap out of you about not eating spinach or not eating raw vegetables or not eating this or not eating that, you know, someone else is going to come out there and say, oh, they're full of crap.
Exactly.
So, you know what? What do we always say? We do what we do. We live our lives the way we live our lives, and we can't let everything that we read
affect us.
True.
We can't.
Very true. Because you know what, we're all gonna die of something anyway. So who cares? Is that what you're saying, Brian?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Lori, did you have any food news you wanted to share?
Of course I do. Are you ready?
Yes.
You ready, Brian?
You're waiting with bated breath.
Oh, yeah. Okay. 8 food trends for back to school. It's funny. Just for a side note, I'm in Walmart today, and Mother says, but it doesn't say pencil sharpeners. I don't see where we have to buy pencil sharpeners. The girl goes, Mom, I think we need pencil sharpeners for school, but the list doesn't say pencil sharpeners.
You'll find them buying a million sharpened pencils, and they'll keep throwing pencils out.
I'm walking away thinking, thank God I don't have any kids. I would not want to be. The lady had a list, and the little girl was like, Mom, we need this. They were buying, like, you know, booklets and all kinds of stuff. It was just so cute about the pencil sharpeners. Anyway, 8 food trends for back to school. If you have kids, here you go. Gluten-free continues to be a huge, excuse me, and growing trend, with all kinds of frozen and refrigerated options such as pizzas, pasta, waffles, and ethnic-inspired cuisine conveniently available. So the frozen food aisles get more and more international all the time, with global flavors being seen in many of the convenient products available, such as the Asian stir fries, Indian-flavored chicken dishes, and the Mediterranean pizza options. The availability of organic frozen foods are growing as well, with the options of steamable bagged vegetables constantly growing and becoming perfect meal additions for busy mornings or hectic work weeks. Can you imagine going to school today and seeing, like, steamable bagged vegetables The one guy talked about peanut butter and marshmallow sandwiches when he was a kid. But they've got all, it's so different today than when we grew up. Can you imagine? I'll have the steamed vegetables. I'll have the stir fry. I'll have the sushi.
I want to know something, though. How do the schools manage, like if you have school cafeteria, how are they going to manage to accommodate all of these different problems? Remember when it was lactose intolerant? Everybody, every kid that went to school was lactose intolerant. No, I'm not saying that it's a gluten problem is just the latest trend, because celiac disease is pretty serious, and kids that are lactose intolerant is pretty serious. But it was like everybody then was lactose intolerant. Okay, now everybody's, all the parents are petitioning the school board. You have to have lactose-free stuff. So now are they going to serve all gluten-free? And what do you do with the kids that aren't gluten-free?
Well, the article was it was all over the board, to be honest with you. It said, what type of proteins will we see cafeterias and parents focusing on when it comes to lunch? And it says here there are more and more vegetarian kids and there are more teacher vegetarians, so good vegetarian options will be more of a focus both in the cafeterias and for the parents packaging their lunches. The interest in less meat as a focus of the meal continues to grow, and even for those who are not vegetarian. Finding lunch choices that include tofu, beans, dairy, whole grains, eggs, and other protein-rich vegetables will continue.
You know what? Sorry.
Let's go. Okay, all right. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say, peanut butter and jelly, I grew up on that. You grew up on that. Brian grew up on that. Bologna sandwiches with mustard, white bread. And remember those snack pack pudding things that you pull the metal top off and you slice your tongue. What are we doing? I mean, what's going on here? This is like crazy stuff. Come on.
It is crazy stuff. It really is.
And you know what? Let's go back to my comments last week about McDonald's having all these varieties. What is going to happen to all this food that nobody eats? And, you know, the kids that are supposed to be gluten-free, and then all of a sudden you see them eating the same piece as the other kids, but because they're really not gluten-free, but mommy told the school that I have to eat gluten-free.
It's ridiculous. We have a caller calling in. This story's bugging me. We're going to switch gears here. We have a caller. I have no idea who it is, but
what the heck?
You guys want to take a caller?
Absolutely.
Of course.
I'll just cut them off.
Why not? Hello, who's out there?
Hey, Grill.
Yes.
It's Debbie from Kentucky.
Debbie from Kentucky. Hi, Debbie from Kentucky. This is Grill from Maryland.
Hi.
I know.
Debbie,
and then you could have peanut butter and bacon.
Yeah.
I just had to say
hi, guys. Is this Debbie that I've been trying to reform off of bacon?
Yes, Brian, it is.
Ah.
I just had to call and bug y'all tonight.
Oh, you're so sweet.
My husband usually has the computer to listen to races, so I don't get to have the computer, and I can't always get you on my tablet. So I do try, and I had to just call and say hey.
Thanks
for calling
in.
All right,
you
all take care.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there you go. I had to get off that stupid school story anyway. I got one other story to tell that, Laura, you're going to like this, and then we're almost out of time, believe it or not. Sweetgrass. You know the herb sweetgrass, Laura?
No.
Oh, geez. You ever heard of sweetgrass before, Brian? Sweetgrass, yeah. Okay, get this. It repels mosquitoes better than DEET. They've done studies on sweetgrass, and they will ward off biting insects like mosquitoes and flies. And they say you can buy sweetgrass at pretty much any supermarket, but it's actually better. Remember DEET? We're all going to die of DEET.
Of course.
But
now they've
taken DEET out of everything and nothing works. Can use to actually ward off mosquitoes. And here's something else, too, that just popped up on my screen about that. It says that lemon eucalyptus and black pepper plants also rival DEET. So there you go, Laura. We need to rub ourselves down with... black pepper, and sweetgrass when we go outside, and we won't have to worry about mosquitoes.
Wait, wow. I want to know something. If cattle that eat grass-fed beef eat sweetgrass, do they not get bitten by mosquitoes?
No, I don't know that.
Maybe not.
Good question.
Well, there's your assignment for next week. Research.
Thank you, Brian. We'll do some research on that.
Yeah, really.
Okay, well, believe it or not, we are almost out of time. We've only got 4 minutes left, and I want to thank everybody again for supporting our show. Thank you for making us number 3. Now, keep telling your friends and your enemies to listen in, because we want to get and knock that vegan lady off her pedestal. She's number 1. She does have a PBS TV show. So we're up against the toughie here. Yeah, that helps. But if you ever listen to her show, she sounds like a romper room teacher. So put on your romper stompers and call all your friends and tell them to listen to our show so we can knock her off the pedestal. But thank you for listening to Gray and Ideas Radio, the Benny Hill of Foodie Radio. And as I always do before we close out, I ask Brian, is there anything else you would like to add?
I just want to say stay tuned for Dark Man and Foil Boy, and we are going to find a role for Laurie. I promise you by next week I will have Laurie's role in this trio all ready to go.
Thank you, my BMS. Thank you, BMS.
And Laurie, did you want to add anything about your book or anything else?
Sure. We're still waiting for those CDs. They should be coming shortly. So, oh my gosh, please let me be out before the holidays this year.
Yeah, these books, I wish they'd hurry up. MyHappyBooks.com, yep. Laurie's six series children's books should be out.
Adorable.
Anytime they are. They're really nice books, and hopefully they'll be ready for Christmas time. You think, Laurie?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, anyway, I got nothing else to add other than wrap everything in foil when you can, and I'm going to try to get Reynolds Wrap to be one of our sponsors, because I use a heck of a lot of their product.
You sure did.
Everybody, join us again next Sunday, same time, same place. What do you call it, Brian? Same time, same place, or how you put it, but anyway, thank you for joining us. It's more like an insane place. Thanks again for joining us. I'm going to close out with a song by Redneck Incorporated called Get You Some of That. Everyone, have a nice week. We'll see you next Sunday.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, guys.
Cheers.
It's a bright one today, and his cheap sunglasses are tight. Ain't got a dollar in my pocket, I must have rocked it last night. But there's a warm breeze blowing, I can't remember her name. And these mismatched flip-flops don't feel the same. Thank you. Hard off the floor.